This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
All right, it's Chiefs week. Bills and Chiefs. Good morning. Jeremy and Joe with you here on WGR. Happy Thursday, 8:07 here. Forecast for Halloween tomorrow. Maybe the rain holds off. Might be windy. Might be chilly. Forecast for Sunday. A nice overcast fall evening day. Day/evening. Forecast for Sunday. High of 52. And, clouds rolling in. It'll be Bills and Chiefs. And, of course, the stakes are, they are what they kind of always are. We go to the Western Hotline to chat with our old friend Carrington Harrison. I sent him a text. They simply wrote, old friend, ... As we do this at least once a year, Carrington, and we often do it twice a year because the Bills and Chiefs are rivals, colleagues, whatever word you want to put on it. These games are happening a lot, and they're always interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to come on with you guys. We have a little joke in Kansas City that Kansas City celebrates the Super Bowl in February, and Buffalo celebrates it in November. So really excited to come on with you guys to preview the Super Bowl.
See, the problem is people are already mad at you, and now they're not going to trust your opinion on the Chiefs.
But I ruined the rest.
But I still trust it because I know you like to throw a little jab, and Bills fans, I think they can take it. So Carrington, the big story is about the Chiefs so far. Their offense appears to be back to prior to the last 2 years kind of level, right? Like they're scoring 28 again. They're ripping the ball all around the field. What I noticed from last week's game was they turned it over twice and had 9 penalties for 95 yards and still got their offense going. So what is different and how different do you think it is offensively for them right now?
I wouldn't put a whole lot of stock in how the Chiefs played in the first half last week. I mean, the Chiefs had 2 turnovers in the season heading into Monday Night Football, and they just got off to a little bit of a weird start. But you're right, after halftime, the Chiefs just basically decided that this is the end of the game. They scored back-to-back touchdown drives to make it 21-7, and then it was baseball time around these parts watching the World Series. What's different since the last time that you and I have talked about these two teams? It's really just the pass catchers for Kansas City. They just have more weapons and more options. You know, you got Rashee Rice back. He's been unguardable with the way that Andy uses him, with the way they put him in motion, with the way that they try to get him the football. He's been fantastic. You got Xavier Worthy now in year 2. You add Tyquan Thornton. You add Juju Smith-Schuster. You got just everybody's kind of filling their role. And I think it's really helped open up Travis Kelce now, who he's second in receiving yards from tight ends this season at 36 years old. So I think the biggest difference is, I think, A, it's their offensive line. Their offensive line is better than it was a season ago. It's just a much more cohesive unit. And also, they just have more weapons. They just have more things to play with now than they did last season.
Is that really all it took also for the Mahomes numbers to go back to what they kind of used to be, at least in the regular season? Because he's probably tracking towards an MVP-level stat line by the end of this.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be a little bit surprised if he didn't win MVP at this point. I mean, I think there's only probably four players that could realistically win it. Mahomes is one. Josh Allen is one. We'll see how this goes. Baker Mayfield is probably still in the conversation. Drake May. I hate the fact that Jonathan Taylor, who might run for 2,000 yards and have 24 touchdowns, has no chance of winning it. But we just determined that he can just win Offensive Player of the Year. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's all that's needed. You know, I told you guys this last year. You know, I just believe that explosive plays come from explosive players. And I think the Chiefs over the last couple of years have just given Mahomes bargain basement prices and expected the world from him. I think now that you've given him comparable pieces, I think you've seen that the great regular season quarterback has always been there. He just needed a better infrastructure around him.
So how do they have three losses? What has happened to knock them down earlier in the season? Because they did lose early.
It's a good question. I mean, some of it was just they didn't have Rashee Rice and they didn't have Xavier Worthy in those first two games, and their offense just really stalled. I mean, there was a point in the Chiefs season that I would say that it turned. It turned in Sunday Night Football against the Giants. It was tied 9-9 against the Giants in the first half, and at least the urban legend is Creed Humphrey, their center, started yelling. It was kind of like that scene from Friday Night Lights with Preacher Man, who never talks, and then he starts yelling, and then all of a sudden it turns things around. And ever since then, the Chiefs have been one of the three best offenses in the National Football League. So some of it has just kind of been mistakes. You know, in the game against Philadelphia, Travis Kelce bobbles the ball. It then causes an interception. In the game against the Chargers, it's 3rd and 14. They can get off the field. They don't get off of the field. In the game against Jacksonville, Patrick Mahomes throws the interception, and that ends up being the big swing in the game. So, I mean, that's some of it, too, is they just made mistakes early on. But, I mean, during this homestand, I mean, they were incredible. I mean, they outscored their opponents 89-24 over those three games. I mean, they allowed 7 points in their last two games. So, offensively, they're playing on a high level, and defensively, they are as well.
Defensively high level. Like I'd seen early in the season that maybe it was not going too well. We all saw the clip of Chris Jones against the Jags, right? Like I don't know what the explanation was there, but the defense looks like it's fine to you?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly has been. I mean, you know, that to me was kind of the come to Jesus moment, I think, for kind of everybody. As I mentioned, the interception with Mahomes, the Chris Jones, he was really a big focus locally during that time. And then, I mean, this team was, they were 2-3 a couple of weeks ago at home against the Lions on Sunday Night Football. And, you know, the Lions, the offense, just how complete they are. You know, it was a little nervousness heading into that. The Chiefs won that game 30-17. They played really well. They held the Lions to under 100-yard rushing. They held Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jamison Williams, all of those guys in check. And they've really just been in a roll. Now, if you want to find one question, I mean, they've only beaten one good team this year. They beat the Detroit Lions. This is them going on the road and playing another really good team in a really hostile environment. So I don't know how much you can take from them just beating up on the Raiders and the Commanders the last 2 weeks. But, I mean, that's the big question heading into this. Now going on the road, this offense, this defense, in a game that's really important, not just in the AFC West, in which they have a really important race, but also in the AFC picture where, I mean, there are four teams that can get the one seed. The Chiefs are one of those teams.
So the defense is looking better and the offense is looking better. Like, other than that, you just kind of went through like how they've only beaten one good team. Like, what on the roster is really a question right now going into this game for them? I mean, the run game, I guess, right, just because of the Pacheco injury?
Yeah, but the thing about the run game is, I mean, they just kind of found a rhythm with it. I mean, this isn't a great running team. Like, that's not their calling card. Now, they use the short passing game as an extension of the run game, Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy. That's kind of how they do it, but like they're just not going to run the football effectively. If you're looking for one thing, I would say special teams. They have this special teams player named Jack Cochran. He commits a holding penalty just about every single week. Harrison Butker's been kind of shaky. I mean, he missed a kick in their first 6 games, whether it was an extra point or a regular field goal. So, I mean, I would say that's probably the biggest weakness for Kansas City right now is special teams, but their offense and defense have played so well the last couple of weeks with the special teams. It just hasn't really been a big topic of conversation.
Carrington Harrison on the Western Hotline chatting about Chiefs-Bills. So, Carrington, what is the formula for the Bills to beat the Chiefs? If you've seen them lose, sloppiness, a Kelce turnover. You mentioned he had one go off his hands also in the Washington game. Like, are the Chiefs a team that you feel like they only lose when they beat themselves, which is something that Bills fans often feel about the Bills?
I don't know if the formula to beat Kansas City is really much different than what we've kind of seen before. I mean, if you look at the last 4 games between these two teams, it always comes down to one play. The AFC Championship game, Travis Kelce and Kadarius Toney with the lateral, Josh Allen going for it on fourth down. Like, there's no question in my mind that this game is going to be close heading into the final 15 minutes. And I think the plan is really, really simple. It's get pressure on Patrick Mahomes. When he's had a clean pocket with their offensive line, I mean, he's been virtually unstoppable so far this year. But I thought we saw early on in the season, I mean, if there is a weakness with Mahomes' game, we've seen it in multiple Super Bowls. If you get a little bit of pressure, he gets skittish, he runs around, and it just disrupts the timing of their offense. So I don't know if the blueprint to beat Kansas City is really any different today than it was 5 years ago. They just have a better offensive line and more weapons around them now than they've had probably in the last 3 years.
So what's the pick?
I'm picking Kansas City. You know, last year I picked Buffalo to win this game. Yeah. Right now, I just think the Chiefs are better than the Bills at the things that matter. I think their quarterback is playing better. I think their offense is better. I think their defense is better than Buffalo's is at this point right now. I just think Kansas City, I understand record-wise, it doesn't say that they're the best team. I think the Chiefs are the best team in the league right now. Now, that's fluid. That can change in 2 weeks. But I think right now the Chiefs are the best team in the league. So it's just hard for me to pick against them heading into this matchup.
All right. Fair enough. Carrington Harrison on the Chiefs. Maybe we'll chat again in the postseason. And this game could determine if the two teams do meet, where they meet. Because, you know, you mentioned there's four teams alive for the one seed. Whoever loses this game has a big fight to get any home game.
Well, I'm going to tell you guys this. I bet on Buffalo to be the one seed at the very beginning of the season. If you guys can't cash in this year, you will regret this for a very, very long time because your schedule was tailor-made to host the AFC Championship game. So if the Bills got to go on the road to either Indianapolis or Kansas City, something went terribly wrong for the Bills in the regular season.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it might just be the Patriots.
Right.
This is the thing that went terribly wrong. Their schedule also.
Very easy.
Cake, yeah.
For sure. No, absolutely. You know what? Everybody loves Drake May. The one thing we love in the NFL is flavor of the month. Last year, it was Jaden Daniels. Everybody loved Jaden Daniels. And now everybody loves Drake May. Next year, we'll love Garrett Nussmeier. This is what we do.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Carrington.
I appreciate you guys.
All right. Carrington Harrison on the Wester Hotline on the Chiefs.
Well, thank you so much to so many of you who have tweeted me at Sal Sports to let me know it is Regina, Saskatchewan, not Regina. I didn't know. I didn't know exactly how to pronounce it. I was on a radio station up in Saskatchewan with some Bills fans, the host of the Bills fan, and we're talking about, you know, the World Series and all that too, and I didn't know when I said it which way it was. And I'm going to welcome in Tracy Wolfson right now, CBS Sports. Always a pleasure to talk to Tracy. She's on the call this Sunday, Bills Chiefs, 4:25 p.m. in Orchard Park with Jim Nance and Tony Romo. Good morning. Always great to talk with you.
Hey, definitely not going there with what you guys were just talking about. So I'll let you decide how to pronounce that city.
That city, I totally get it. But I'm like, I didn't want to disrespect the city or anything like that. Apparently, this is Saskatchewan's capital, right? But it just goes to show you, Bills fans everywhere. And, of course, you've seen this evolution, Tracy. And we've been talking about the evolution of the rivalry, if you want to call it that, between the Chiefs and the Bills. And, you know, this just resonates so much. It's why you're here this weekend. It's why you and Jim and Tony have done so many of these games. What's it been like from your standpoint, from the outside, and then coming and watching – in Kansas City, in Buffalo, regular season playoffs, watching these two organizations go at it so often?
Yeah, you know, this will be our 10th time doing one of these matchups, whether it's in the regular season or the postseason. And, you know, I mean, every time you know it's a big game. And certainly before, you know, the schedule even comes out, that's the game we target. That's the game that CBS wants. That's the game we go over or we go after. And that regular season game, I mean, we always assume, which you can't, that they'll wind up meeting in the postseason and we'll get that one, although I think this year it could be different, right? But going into this one, you know, you just feel that energy. It's a big game. It's national everywhere. You know you're going to get two competitors that have history together. I was part of Brady rivalry, but not when Manning was with Indianapolis, more when he was with Denver, but, you know, it's very similar. You know, you look up, you know, to these games, they look up to each other. They, you know, and we know what entails every time these two teams come together. And every time we're in, whether it's Kansas City or Buffalo, you can feel it. The fans are into it. It's just a whole other level.
No doubt about that. And, of course, this year there's a little added bonus with the fact that this is the last scheduled Kansas City game inside this stadium, Highmark Stadium. You've been coming to this stadium for years. What are some of your thoughts about this stadium and the charm maybe of it, or how it is around the league with the fans being right on top of you and the atmosphere at Highmark Stadium?
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely love it. The fans in Buffalo, it doesn't get better than that. And honestly, Kansas City fans are just as into it and on top of you. They both have these college feel to it, which I started my career in the SEC. And when you walk into those environments and those stadiums, that's how you feel. They're, like you said, they're right on top of you. Now, certainly, you know, as a reporter that's on the field like you for seven straight hours, depending when we get there. You know, a dome would be really nice. But it's embracing the elements. It's what makes Buffalo Buffalo. You know, I'm glad they opted not to do that. Certainly helps with home field advantage. But looking forward to experiencing the new stadium. I'll miss this one because this one has, you know, a lot of uniqueness and charm to it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, I'm glad you brought it up, you know, 7 hours on the field and what happens and the fact that it's not just, hey, as a reporter, as a sideline reporter, as a broadcaster, you don't just, you know, obviously show up and you're there for 3 hours. But let's kind of walk through your week. I don't know if I've ever asked you. I'd like you to kind of educate my listeners a little bit on what your week is like when you prepare for a national broadcast, when you know you're going to get this game, when you start preparing for it, and how that week shapes for you.
Yeah, I mean, I started kind of just like, you know, you're always watching both of these two teams, no matter what. So you're also, you know, following along, taking some notes, you know, maybe saving some articles you see that might be, you know, that's something that we might be able to use during these games, just to keep yourself up on it. You know, we haven't had Buffalo since the Jets game. We just had Kansas City, but it was against Oakland, so certainly different. For me, no matter whether it's a national game, a Super Bowl game, or just an interconference game, it doesn't matter, an league game, who cares? It's going to be still, you're going to go about your preparation exactly the same because you're just preparing for a game. And you don't think about how many people are watching. Now, certainly you think about your audience and gearing it towards them a little bit more, but it's a national game, so you also have to gear it towards those that are just tuning in that maybe don't know a lot about the Chiefs or the Bills, or aren't following them week in and week out. You know, when you get those 1 o'clockers, certainly you're going to get more of those Chiefs-Bills fans watching, which is very rare. We would probably never have this game at a 1 o'clock game. But, you know, I think, you know, the preparation really starts. For me, I get so excited with the prep. I look forward to that. And I started on my red eye home from Denver on Sunday night, which is not really a red eye either. Ian Eagle calls it a pink eye, and he's so right. It's about 3.5 hours at the most. And so, you know, I started then, you know, you start reading a lot. I follow you and all the beat reporters at Buffalo and all the beat reporters at Kansas City, because you guys are the one with boots on the ground day in and day out and really know what's happening at where I've been dealing with, you know, another game the prior week. And so that's really what it is. It's just research, finding the stories, finding the angles. What are the key stats that you're going to be looking towards? And then we meet with the coaches. We meet with the players. You talk to players on the side. I'll talk to players during the week on my own on phone. And then we'll meet with the teams when we get in, or via Zoom. This week, we're going to have a little bit of a mix just because of people's schedules. You meet with coaches. You meet with the players, star players. And that's where you get so much of your information, because we read about it a lot. But we also just don't want to regurgitate what someone else is writing. We want to follow up, hear it from the horse's mouth, really get what they have to say and if they can expand on anything. So when we're out there reporting, we can say, I spoke with Josh Allen and he told me this. And so that's really what it looks like. We'll go to dinner and can't wait. We've got a great dinner lined up in Buffalo, always.
Always.
And then Saturday, we'll do the same when Kansas City comes in, we'll meet with them. And then we'll have our production meeting, which always entails kind of prepping, you know, the opening of our show, what kind of video elements we'll use, graphics we'll use, what are our storylines we want to get into. And then, you know, you basically head out, like we talked about, 4 hours before the game and do some last-minute research, last-minute communication with people, maybe some hits for the studio show. We have our studio coming out this week, which is going to be awesome. And that's kind of what it is. It's like Groundhog Day. I do that basically every week, and it rarely changes. It doesn't even matter depending on the game.
Give me a storyline that you're interested in from the Buffalo angle this week, and then one from the Kansas City angle that you've talked about, you've looked at, and you guys will be asking about.
Yeah, like I said, I'm definitely still working through everything. I think, you know, defensively for the Bills, I mean, that's kind of a topic of conversation right now. Sifting through that, and certainly read about, you know, Sean taking a little bit more of the play calling recently. You know, the injuries on the defensive side of the ball, the defensive line, where it's at. You know, it's not an out-of-the-box story, but certainly a big storyline going into the game. And in games like this, you're not finding the out-of-the-box stories because you're probably not going to have time to tell them. If it doesn't relate to the game specifically, if it doesn't relate to the storylines or the X's and O's, or then you're not, you know, you're probably not getting in. The game's going to just be too good. I always love to hear from each other, you know, from both teams, the rivalry, the importance. And I think this game in particular, because neither team is leading their division for the first time, there's a lot at stake there, and maybe a lot more at stake than ever before, because you go into those games and the mentality is we'll see them again. And I think in the post-game interview, always the quarterback, whether it's Josh or Patrick, is telling me that. I know usually, you know, Josh during these regular season games, but are telling me that they'll, you know, I'm sure we'll see each other again. We don't know, right? We have no idea. Yep. There's so many other players, more so than ever, in this race. So I think a conversation about that, certainly where the Chiefs are right now, clicking on all cylinders, they're having fun. They're getting back to where they were maybe even before Tyreek, right? Maybe even before this rivalry, you know, really took shape. I don't even know. Maybe the best, you know, maybe this is the most complete game team we've seen from the Chiefs. We'll hear it from them, you know, where they are right now at this point of the season. And so I think, you know, those are really two things that stand out. Certainly, you know, losing Pacheco, if he can't play, will hurt. But, you know, they can run the ball in other ways. So, you know, I think that's something they will have to exploit if they want to take advantage of Buffalo. And so those are a few kind of things that come, you know, right to the forefront of my mind. But to be honest, once you start talking to these coaches and players, really more comes out.
Yep.
Right. And you have so many storylines. I'm talking to Chris Jones later today. I always love to ask him and love to ask Bags, how do you get Josh down? Right. How do you tackle him? How do you bring him down? Because we know, especially in these games, he likes to take, you know, the whole team on his shoulders, and he's going to do whatever he can to win this game. And so, you know, number one is containing Josh Allen. And so I always love to hear from Spags and from, you know, Chris Jones. I think Mike Dana called him a lumberjack this week. You know, I mean, it's always great to hear the descriptions when it comes to Josh Allen.
Last one before I let you go. I appreciate your time. Big picture, AFC, Indy's at the top. New England is up there. Denver's up there. It's not the same cast of characters we've been seeing the last few years with Buffalo and Baltimore and usually Cincinnati. What do you make of this AFC from what you've seen so far and how competitive it is?
It is absolutely wild. And you know the crazy thing? We have yet to see Indy or New England. So we are going into November, and the two top teams in the AFC we have yet to see, which just goes to show you they were not on our radar going into the year. And, you know, we had the Baltimores and the Cincies and the Pittsburghs, which are still in the mix. We'll see what happens, right? And, of course, you guys and the Chiefs. And so we will see New England next week against Tampa Bay. It won't be an AFC matchup, but certainly will be a competitive matchup. It'll be great to kind of get a feel for this New England team. And there's a very good chance we've got that Indy-Kansas City game coming up, which will be a barometer of where both teams are at and how they, you know, maybe, you know, a preview of what we'll see in the playoffs. And so a lot could change. I mean, I think looking at Indy, they really have not had a difficult schedule. They have a much more difficult, maybe the third highest, most difficult schedule going forward. So to see, you know, if they can keep it up. I've been really impressed with Shane Steichen and what he's put together. Daniel Jones, Jonathan Taylor, their offense looks explosive. And then certainly New England. Mike Vrabel, one of my favorite coaches to be around. Really proud of what he's been able to do there. and we'll see them next week. So looking forward to that. This race is going to be awesome. It really is. I think there's a lot of unknowns, but a lot will ride on this game as well in terms of seeding down the stretch.
I'm curious, does tonight's game, like the result, let's say Baltimore, if Baltimore wins tonight against Miami, does that impact kind of what happens with you guys and your schedule and how CBS kind of treats what maybe happens over the next several weeks?
Yeah, I mean, it always impacts it because we really just kind of know the next, you know, we always know our 425s, yep. But we have a Baltimore game coming up later on this season in Maryland. And I'm going to assume it's Pittsburgh. I don't really remember who they're playing because it's a little far away. It's, you know, end of November. But yes, right? If they lose to Miami, that could definitely change. There could be right. another, you know, matchup on that schedule that, you know, we could be seeing. I think maybe that same weekend might be Jacksonville Indy, which, okay. you know, when you think of market size, and I'm just speaking, you know, I don't know anything, but when you think of market size, you think, okay, that Baltimore-Pittsburgh game or whatever, whoever Baltimore's playing will probably get more, you know, more eyeballs. But that Jacksonville Indy game, because Jacksonville's still somewhat in the mix, could be really good too, right? So, yes. Yeah. Every game means something. Our 425s are basically set. Certainly there could be some mixing and matching. And it's not only us, by the way, right? You got Sunday night, you got Thursday night, you know, even Monday night. They can go and switch around. They got to give some advance notice, but they could switch things around and take something from us. So, you know, I do think we feel comfortable with where we're at the next few weeks, and we've got some incredible matchups coming up on CBS.
No doubt, including, obviously, Sunday, 4:25 p.m. on CBS. Jim Nance, Tony Romo, and the great Tracy Wolfson. Thanks a lot for your time. Now, listen, I know where I'm going every week. You don't, so, I mean, that's crazy that you do that. But I do know you're going to have a great dinner in Buffalo, no matter where you go, because you always do. And I know there's some great restaurants here. So enjoy your time here. Enjoy your dinner. And, obviously, we'll see you on the field for the game.
I have one question. What's the yes. weather report?
Okay, that's great. So I will have... I will have Patrick Hammer on tomorrow. He's from our NBC affiliate here. He's does the weather every Friday, but we were talking about it last week, and I've been looking. I think we're going to be between 45 and 50 degrees.
Okay.
Little slight chance of rain maybe, but I think we're going to be okay as far as precipitation, between 45 and 50 degrees, mostly cloudy.
Okay. All right. I'll take that.
You'll take it, right?
Thank you. Yep. I appreciate it.
You got
right.
it. Now you know how to dress. And listen,
to it.
If you don't bring the raincoat and it rains, I'm sorry then I gave you bad information. If it starts snowing, I definitely gave you bad information, but I think we're going to be okay.
You never know in Buffalo, though.
That's exactly right. Hey, great to talk to you, and I'll see you on Sunday on the field. Thank you.
See you there. Thanks. Goodbye.
All right, you got it. That is Tracy Wolfson, CBS.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it.
Are you playing me off?
That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Sabres Road Crew is back. We can't wait for this one. It's Nashville. It's an encore from previous years in Nashville, and it's going to be worth it, folks. You need to get down here for January the 19th. Now, that is a holiday Monday afternoon, and that's when we're having the Road Crew party. It's an afternoon watch party with fellow alumni, broadcasters. Sabres are going to be playing in Carolina that day. It's an afternoon game starting at 12:30 in Nashville. So we're going to enjoy the afternoon. And then the very next night, of course, the Sabres are visiting the Predators. So it's a great trip for the hockey lover, the party lover, in all of us, quite frankly. So check it out, sabres.com/roadcrew. Marty and I have it in Sharpie. Already on the calendars.
Dregs, no Dregs should join us. 100% Darren Dreger should join us in Nashville, yeah, in January. Dregs, you were in the Stanley Cup final, Nashville, oh, yeah, Pittsburgh, and you enjoyed a little patio on Tootsie's. You guys had the panel up there.
It was fantastic. The outdoor patio overlooking Bridgestone. We had the three high stools sitting up there. Now it was hot. That time of year, it was warm out there. But the hospitality in Nashville is second to none. But you have to do it in short spurts, right? So you guys are only going to be there for what'd you say, like an afternoon?
Well, three days.
Oh, okay.
Well, we got 3 days, dude.
That's debauchery. That's what that's setting up. That's what that's setting up for. Nah, it's a great city. My buddies and I were just planning this the other day, not necessarily planning another trip to Nashville, but talking about how they've never been. I'm like, oh, you gotta go. I mean, it's just one of those stops on the sports circuit, not just hockey, the sports template that you should visit. It's a great town.
Marty, you want to hit him with Blue Jays?
Yeah, I'll start very easy. Going as far as possible as Nashville, we'll go to the Calgary Flames. It's not going well in Calgary. And after last year, 96 points, but not making the playoffs. What is happening? We talked Rasmus Anderson the last time we had you on, but I think the big name now is Nazem Kadri. Like, what's going on with Kadri? Could he be on the move? Because team's looking for a depth centerpiece. Could very well be in the market.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about supply and demand, and that's why the speculation is running as rampant as it is around the Calgary Flames and Nazem Kadri. And then you join the two, the fact that the Flames haven't played well enough, they're not doing well enough, and they've got these assets. So what direction is the organization going to go? If you want to look at the bigger picture and say, well, why wouldn't they put themselves in the best position possible for Gavin McKenna or a high draft pick? Okay, well, then at some point this year, you've got to move Rasmus Anderson, and you have to consider trading Nazem Kadri and some of the other pieces around that organization. I just think it's too early for any of that. You know, Naz wants to stay in Calgary, his term remaining on his contract. You know, you can appreciate why the Vancouver Canucks would have interest. They've been looking for a two center for a couple of years. Likewise for the Montreal Canadiens, I'm sure Brad Treliving would love to bring Kadri back to Toronto. That's the most unlikely of the three scenarios that I've just described from a Canadian perspective. But until Craig Conroy, you know, goes to Nazem Kadri and says, hey, the direction of this team is such where we're looking at the draft in June, you know, are you willing if we actively pursue the idea of trade? And that's not going to happen anytime soon. And look, you know, Kadri's on the cusp of his 1,000th NHL game. Mm-hmm. Everyone around Nazem wants to respect that milestone. But if Calgary is still floundering around Christmas, you know, then I think that the speculation turns real and the considerations of a trade also become real.
Sabres and Bruins tonight, and Buffalo's 4-1-2 in their last seven. The Bruins have 2 wins in their last three. It's been very up and down for them. Anything new on the front of either of these teams? Obviously, from Buffalo's standpoint, people are always looking at Alex Tuch.
Yeah, not really. Ongoing conversation. And I know that that sounds like, you know, just simple lip service. That's what it sounds like. But yeah, that's the reality of where they're at. And that cuts both ways. You know, there's still a mutual interest in getting something done, but that can change, right? And if the numbers don't add up for Alex Tuch and his side, meaning it's not the perfect fit financially or term-wise, well, then why wouldn't Alex Tuch wait? But that doesn't have to be ominous. You know, that can change very, very quickly. It really can. You know, as I'm talking, I'm thinking about the conversation I had with Annie Scott, who represents Thomas Harley, earlier this week, just prior to Harley getting that big extension, right? Mm-hmm. And they'd been talking for a length of time, and then talks picked up probably 2 weeks ago. And then I think it was like the morning of, maybe Tuesday or Monday morning, where the Dallas Stars reached out and said, okay, we're ready to get this deal done. And they closed the gap. Well, maybe that happens between Buffalo and Alex Tuch, but they're not there yet. They're not. I think that everybody wants to let the season breathe a little bit because there's been a lot of positive around the Buffalo Sabres. It's a tough season to start. Look around the league. It's some of these teams that are struggling mightily, and you're looking at the standings and going, okay, well, I want to fast forward 15, 20 games and look at the standings again. Mm-hmm. But you can't just focus on the negative. You got to look at the positive. And Buffalo, for me, is one of those positive storylines at this point of the regular season. So I think in doing that, you build a little bit more patience into certain conversations and negotiations.
But what about Pavel Zacha
with Boston?
Anything from the Boston side?
Yeah, what about Zacha?
Yeah. So I think I think everybody can appreciate why you fixate on certain teams. We just talked about Kadri and the Calgary Flames. Well, if Calgary's off to a good start, we're not talking about the possibility of Craig Conroy moving, you know, arguably his top center. And Zach is a little bit more curious for me because he's a centerman, and Marco Sturm on a lot of games has him playing on the wing. And he doesn't look happy about that. And I think that in part, when you then revisit history, like teams call on players all the time at varying points of a 12-month year. Hey, would you consider moving this guy? Now, we know that Don Sweeney of the Bruins had conversations with at least one club, maybe more. And those clubs asked about the potential availability of Pavel Zacha. All right. So now we're revisiting something that happened months ago. But that doesn't mean that Sweeney has this guy on the block. It's just because the Boston Bruins, yet again, are floundering. And people are going, okay, well, they've got to do something. You know, they tried one more time to plug holes in the offseason with pieces that they brought in with some experience. And it just doesn't seem to be working. So I think that's where most of that Boston speculation targeting Pavel Zacha comes from.
So the Colorado Avalanche have Cale Makar can sign an extension on July 1 next year. Marty Natchez can sign an extension in January 1st because he's a UFA next summer. And now, you know, you mentioned Thomas Harley signing his deal. Logan Cooley signed his deal as well, 8x10. So is there a lot of business that Colorado is trying to get done or at least get ahead of to make sure that, you know, their main guys are going to be part of this team for a while?
Right. And I think you're talking about Marty Natchez, obviously, right? Yeah. And it's a problem in Colorado because you do have Cale Makar looming. And nobody is going to step in front of Cale Makar. I mean, how can you? And then you're slapped in the face with the reality of what the Colorado Avalanche felt like they had to do, with Mikko Rantanen, right? And it's not like there was a breakdown in that negotiation. It just didn't really move too far along because Calgary knew, okay, well, we're not that far away from having to extend Kale, and that's going to be our big ticket guy. Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon. The Avalanche, more or less, are a budget team. You know, as the cap goes up, I don't think Colorado is going to be a cap team moving forward, which is a little bit of a head scratch, but that's their prerogative. So where does Marty Natchez fit into all of this? And is he willing to, you know, embrace the idea of a culture extension? And you know what that means, right? You leave a little bit on the table so that you can get the next guy done and the next guy. Well, maybe yes, maybe no. You know, Kaprizov wasn't willing to do that with the Minnesota Wild. So why is there a guarantee Natchez is going to do it in Colorado? And I'm not being critical. I mean, that's entirely up to the individual player and how he sees his fit and what he sees his worth to be. But it's a bit more complicated in Colorado than with a lot of clubs.
You think Natchez is a $10 million player, though, plus? Duffer, what do you think?
I do. I think he is. Yeah.
In today's world, sure.
I do. Yeah. Okay. Because here, you know, I'll be quick when I talk about this. You just mentioned Logan Cooley. We talked about Harley. You've got Lane Hutson. All of these long-term deals. But even though you're looking at Logan Cooley and you're going $10 million, and then you're looking at Thomas Harley at a shade under 10.6, yeah, the math shows that these young guys get their money early in their contract, big money early in the contract. But who's to say by year four, maybe year five of that deal, Thomas Harley is an incredible bargain with the salary cap elevating. I mean, that has to be the thinking in Dallas. That has to be the thinking in Utah. And frankly, I think the Montreal Canadiens got Lane Hutson an absolute steal of a bargain. Yeah. So it's all cap related in some way, shape, or form.
Well, just like the Bruins did with Morgan Geeky this summer. Like it's a home run deal for sure. Here's one for you.
Uh-oh.
Alex Steen still planning, interested in taking over as GM of the Blues or getting cold feet?
I don't. No,
I forfeit my candidature and I'm moving on to something else.
Yeah. Well, what I would say is, Doug Armstrong is never afraid to take the bat off his shoulder,
right?
Ever. And what's going to happen in the near future if the St. Louis Blues don't right the ship is he's going in there swinging. And we're not that far removed from the last time he felt like he had to do that. It was a year or two ago. We went into the dressing room and literally said, I don't care what your contract says. No move, no trade, whatever. I'm going to figure it out. You're going to get platooned out of here, or you're the buddy sitting next to you in this dressing room is getting punted out of here. We're not going to sit back and continue to invest in experience if you guys aren't going to pull your weight. I mean, that's just a general manager who gets business done. So that message is probably going to happen before Alex Steen needs to worry about it.
I want to bring a little bit of a spotlight in a negative way in Toronto because I got my Jays hat. Everything's good. But, you know, we were there, Duffer and I, Saturday night and saw Craig Berube talk to the media. And that was just a few days after Anthony Stolarz called out his teammates Berube called out his teammates. And then they lose to Columbus in a bad way last night. Do you anticipate some shaking up, some moves maybe coming out of Toronto as they try to get out of this downward spiral a little bit?
Well, some of it could happen internally here, Marty, right? They've got Scotty Lawton, who's not that far away from returning. Could be as early as this weekend. That might be a stretch. If not, early next week. You know, he'll help. But then they've got to make a roster decision, right? Are they going to waive somebody? Are they going to send the rookie Easton Cowan to Toronto Marlies? You know, they've got David Kampf, who's in the American League right now. And then a big question mark is in goal. You know, not to pile on Caden Primo, but that level of goaltending against the Columbus Blue Jackets just wasn't good enough. And they were poor defensively. But by and large, they felt like they played pretty well. I don't know. Maybe I was watching a different game, you know, but they felt like they were playing pretty well. They could be spinning it, trying to stay under the umbrella of the Toronto Blue Jays, because once the World Series is over, you guys are very familiar with the Toronto market. Once the Blue Jays have hoisted that trophy, then the spotlight shifts back to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And The fan base may not like what they see, but I do think that there's some internal help. Joe Wall is around the corner, as I mentioned, Scotty Lawton, so maybe they get some help there.
Well, I predicted Blue Jays in six. Marty picked the Dodgers. Who did you pick?
I picked the Blue Jays just because I allow myself to be a fan at certain times of the year. And obviously with the Canadian team here in the World Series, I'd go that way. I'd like it to get done in six because seven, I don't know. I don't think I could handle game seven. The way they played game five, I'm with you, Duffer. The way they played game five, I think they win game six.
Thank you, Mr. Dreger.
Okay, guys, always, have a good one.
Our hockey insider from TSN.
Halloween party today here. I didn't make it. I'm blaming the Blue Jays for not wrapping that thing up 4 hours earlier last night. Didn't get to the party. And the vending machine is broken. I like to have, as you know, viewers will have maybe detected, vitamin water or an iced tea or something to drink. And so it doesn't work.
Everything's down out there? The snacks and the drinks or just the drinks?
I don't know. I just always want one of the two things I mentioned. That's
okay.
It.
Okay. All right.
That machine isn't working. So, you know, I thought it's Halloween party day. There might be a beverage in the fridge. And there is. 2-liter bottle of a popular diet soda.
Okay. Well, that'll work then.
I really was hoping for a lot more. Who knows how long it was in there? It might have been put in there today. It might have been put in there in July.
It's a little flat.
Yeah.
Yeah. That does not look. That looks like old coffee.
Well, I can confirm.
When a glass of soda looks like old coffee, you know you're not drinking the freshest stuff.
Open it hoping for that sound.
Yeah.
And there was a little bit of a sound, but it was like a roaring.
You're opening it almost hoping to have to close it back up because you can't open it too quickly. Otherwise, it's going to fizz over.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not what happened,
didn't
though.
Get that at
sadly.
All. Yeah.
On the line is, so now that's cleared up. On the line is Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Ross, what's new?
What's new is I have a couple questions. May I begin my segment today with questions?
Anytime you want. Yes, we're ready.
Okay. What percentage of people in Buffalo, a.k.a. Bills fans, are also Toronto Blue Jays fans?
I think it's pretty small, but right now it might be peaking. They played here during COVID, and Guerrero is a superstar, and they're in the World Series.
Some of these guys played AAA ball here in Buffalo, so there's some attachment from that fan base, but this has largely been a Yankee town, in my experience. So, you know, there's probably more than ever, because of this relationship and because of what Mike said about them playing here during COVID. But it's nowhere near the majority of baseball fans.
10% of Bills fans.
Hey, who's that? Buffalo AAA is the affiliate for who?
The Blue Jays. That's what I'm saying. Like guys that are on this team now played here pretty recently.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I thought it was Cleveland for some reason.
Used to be.
Okay, maybe when I was up there, was it Cleveland?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that makes sense. So then there is a decent attachment then.
Yeah.
If Buffalo's the AAA affiliate for the Blue Jays, because I've learned a couple things. Well, first of all, we know that there's a lot of Bills fans in Toronto and in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Bills fans. I've also learned over the last week or so that the Blue Jays are like the national team of Canada, and that they've got fans throughout the entire country, and like people in Calgary and Edmonton, all these other cities are like big Blue Jays fans, and they get seen throughout the country to the point where the Blue Jays actually have bigger television audience than like the Dodgers or the Yankees, because they are the team of Canada. They are the national team. So I didn't really know that. But that's cool, I guess. And then
yes.
When you said, Mike, that you stayed up to watch that game, God bless you, by the way. But also, I thought, maybe there's a bunch of people in Buffalo that are Blue Jays fans. I don't know. Maybe that's like their squad. I hadn't really thought of it. I didn't remember it being that way when I was up there.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't remember anybody talking about anything other than the Bills or the Sabres when I was up there.
Right, like, that's really
It was almost like baseball and basketball did not exist.
That's kind of the bright point, I think, mostly. Like, yeah. It's not that Buffalo generally dislikes those teams, but I just feel like we're really not, as a community, we're not that into it. You know, it's just about the Bills and the Sabres, like you said. I also went to game two.
I told you guys this, but Mike, are you just a baseball guy or do you like the Blue Jays?
I love baseball, and I am a bandwagon Blue Jays fan. Like, when you were with the Bills, I didn't really care at all. They were winning, like, 73 games a year or something like that, probably. But when they're good, I get into it. I went to game two in Toronto, and so I've got a string going of being up until, like, 2, 3 a.m. It's not good.
Yeah, so the kid that pitched for them in game one, I think it's, like, Jurassic or something?
You're Savage, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're Savage, yeah. He is 23 years old, and he grew up like 7 miles from where I grew up.
Yes, that's right.
So I mean, I don't know him, but I know of him, and it's, you know, I played against his high school in basketball and stuff in high school growing up. He went to Boyertown High School. I went to Wyomissing. I know everybody in Western New York cares deeply about this, but it is wild to see like a 23-year-old kid from my neck of the woods start World Series game one as a pitcher, and he wasn't even like that highly sought after coming out of high school. I guess he just learned this pitch that's like unstoppable or something.
Yeah, he has a splitter, but then he has a splitter, and then in game one he really didn't use it. Like he couldn't find it. But they won. He got through a few innings, and they won.
So. And he's been on quite a ride. I mean, he started, I think, playing in low A in Florida, and then higher A in Vancouver, and then double A, which is in New Hampshire, and then eventually here, and then eventually Toronto, and now he's in the World Series. It's been quite a season for him.
That is unbelievable. All right, my other question is, one of your commercials during the break, because I was listening, is about border attorneys.
Yes.
You know, and the border can be really hard on couples, so you need to get border attorneys. What am I missing? Why do I need a border attorney?
I don't know that you do.
I hope you don't.
I think I'm speaking way out of school. I think if you might have a record, they're not going to want you into Canada. Like, I think it can be tough getting back and forth if you have...
Oh, if you have a criminal record,
yes,
it's hard to get back and forth.
You can't get in.
And these guys can help you.
It can be, right? I mean, it's one of these things that can just get flagged randomly, and then you're stuck. But I think what these attorneys are selling is the opportunity to have that taken care of ahead of time.
There you go.
God, okay, all right. I just wanted to know. I got both those things where I was intrigued during the commercial break.
Well, good. So here are the Bills, Kansas City next, 40-9, the final in Carolina. We can get right to the Chiefs game if you want. I just wonder if you think they're okay. We've had a couple of days where we're talking more about their faults, and there was a lot of that before this game too. Even Sean McDermott sounds, when it comes to their passing game, that, you know, he feels like it's not quite right, to put it mildly. What do you think? What are you seeing?
Well, let's start with the positive. You guys know I'm a glass half full guy. I'm a positive guy. I think that's super important in life. I mean, that was exactly what the doctor ordered for the Bills in terms of coming out, taking care of business, getting a big win, getting the O-line going, the run game going, defense looking better. I mean, and you can say, oh, it's the Panthers. I mean, they were 4-3. They had won 4 NFL games. And so for the Bills to go down there and destroy them like that was exactly what they needed on a lot of levels, including confidence, going into this matchup against the Chiefs. I mean, I think there probably are still some concerns about the passing game, and I think the Ed Oliver injury is very, very unfortunate, because I've argued for a while that I think after quarterback, the second most important position in the NFL is defensive tackle in particular. I mean, D-line in general, but D-tackle in particular, because of how impactful those guys can be snap to snap against both the run and the pass. So I think D-tackle is a more important position than edge rusher. I don't know that it was thought of that way when I was playing, but It is now, or at least I think it should be now, because of how quickly the quarterbacks can get rid of it, how good they are at stepping up in the pocket. Whereas a disruptive D tackle, even if it doesn't count as a hit or a quarterback pressure, they can still be that word, disruptive, and affect the quarterback. So that feels like a pretty significant injury. We had talked last week a lot about Greg Cosell's comments about the Bills' passing game, and maybe the answer when you have Josh Allen, a quarterback, is not to be getting the ball out of your hands that quickly. Maybe there should be more stuff intermediate or down the field. But I got to be honest with you. You guys know how much I love Greg Cosell. He is my co-host on Thursday and Friday on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. 46 years, NFL Films, really well revered. I think it was the same episode, the same show, where he talked about Patrick Mahomes being the fastest in the NFL from snap to ball out, and how quick and rhythmic the Chiefs passing game was. So that actually might be a question I ask Greg on Thursday or Friday this week, is like, hey, Greg, how can you on one hand criticize the Bills because the passing game is so quick and ball out, and maybe with Josh Allen's arm they should, you know, expand it, drive the ball down the field a little bit more, and then in the same episode talk about how the Chiefs offense is awesome again because Mahomes gets the ball faster than everybody else. To me, that, like, Mahomes has a pretty good arm too. So you know what that sounds like to me? It's like, well, the one's working and the other one's not. So right. Let's praise this. You know what I mean? Like that's not Greg, but that sounds like.
Yep.
What if it was flipped? We would say the exact opposite. You know, oh, look at Allen. He's getting the ball out so quick. You know, they're giving him all these choices, and he's beating him with his brain. Doesn't have to always be his big arm. And oh, Mahomes, man, they can't drive the ball down the field. They should. That's Patrick Mahomes. So I don't know. Some of that just has to do with how well you're playing, I think.
Yeah. Further on the defense, I mean, the Oliver loss is huge, and you've already highlighted that. They did get contributions on Sunday from guys who – the two who were suspended, Ogunjobi and Hoyt, and Hoyt really flashed, Ross. I mean, 1.5 sacks, a forced fumble. I mean, he just was a presence. So that was really welcomed. And they also got Maxwell Hairston, their rookie corner, first-round pick, on the field for 20-some snaps, and that seemed to go pretty well. And they even got a younger athletic safety back there that may have saved a touchdown early in this game. I think he did, because if Rapp were on the field or Jordan Poyer were on the field, I think Dowdle runs away from both of those guys, and Hancock caught him from behind on that play. So they did get some reinforcements on defense, but Hoyt to me was the top story in that part of the thing.
Well, I love that dude. He came on my show in the off season, and yes, we got the Ivy League connection. But just talking with him, you know, his mindset, just a crazy story. He was like a 310-pound, you know, run stuffing D tackle at Brown, and then somehow he gets to the Rams and loses weight and. But he can really run and move, and I just like his mentality a lot. I mean, it strikes me, I don't know if there's anybody before. Oh, there was somebody before me. Think about the proud lineage of Ivy League players for the Buffalo Bills. Jack Kemp, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Ross Tucker, now Michael Hoyt after a game. I think pretty clearly, if Brandon Bean's listening, the Bills need to get more Ivy League guys.
Hey, don't leave out Jackson Hawes.
Yes. Yeah, I'm so glad you said that, because people want to say Georgia Tech for him when he was there for like 5 months, which drives me crazy. Jackson Hawes is another one. I mean, think about it. I don't know if I'm missing any. Hit me up on social media if I am, at Ross Tucker NFL. But basically, the Bills have cornered the market on Ivy League superstars over the years, and they need to add even more.
Although we're not, I don't think we can count Jack Kemp. He went to Occidental, but maybe.
I thought he went to Dartmouth. Oh, that was his son.
Jeff Kemp went to Dartmouth. That's right.
That's right. That's right. It was his son that went to Dartmouth. Okay, right. Forget him. Then the new narrative is Ross Tucker started this Ivy League pipeline to the Buffalo Bills in the early 2000s that went to Fitzpatrick, then Hawes and Hoyt.
Right.
Okay, new narrative. We got it.
And look at them now. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. There's the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. There's also the Even Money Betting Podcast. Kansas City, a 1.5-point favorite as of only, you know, Tuesday for Sunday's game. Does that surprise you in either direction?
No, it doesn't. I mean, I think most people would tell you they think the Chiefs are better. But the game is in Buffalo. The Chiefs are on a short week. Buffalo has kind of had their number in the regular season, as we know, the Chiefs in the postseason. You can't do this, but I'd love to see what the number would be if this was a playoff game. You know, I mean, I think it would be different, right or wrong. I like the Bills, as I said on today's Even Money Betting Podcast. I like the Bills as a teaser leg, up to 7.5 points, paired with something else, because I just have faith that they'll at least be in it. Or even if they're down 2 scores, that Josh will get them a touchdown or a score late to make it a 1-score game. I do have to tell you guys, it gave me some pause. The Chiefs are that good. So even taking the Bills and the 7.5 was not like a no-brainer for me, because, man, the Chiefs look really good. You know, you watch them last night, and it felt like the Commanders couldn't have played much better. Yeah. I mean, the Commanders, they get the interception from Lattimore. That, you know, Kelsey goes off his hands. Wagner gets the interception. Mariota, I mean, in the first half, that's about as well as I've ever seen him play. He outplayed Mahomes. Then the second half starts, it's like bing, bang, boom, touchdown, Chiefs, first 3 drives. I mean, I talked to you guys about it last week. This is the best their offense has looked in years. How about this? Last year, they were undefeated at this point. This year, they have 3 losses, and yet their point differential, right, how many points they've scored versus their opponent, is better this year than last year.
For the whole season.
They have a better point differential because they're just smashing teams now, and I don't know. I think that makes it even more important that the Bills win this game. And I know we've talked about it the last couple of years, and it's been like, does it really matter? Because they're going to play against each other again in the playoffs, and maybe you'd rather lose this one and then have a better chance to beat them in the playoffs or whatever. I actually think it does kind of matter, because the Chiefs are looking so good right now that I think it would be really nice confidence boost for the Bills, and quite frankly for the rest of the NFL, if somebody could take down the Chiefs, because these last few games they've been like scary good.
Here we go again with that.
Right.
Ross, what have you got going this weekend? Any games?
Yeah, man. This is kind of wild. I have a CBS television doubleheader, which means Saturday I will be on every television in the country, including everybody listening, for Army at Air Force, oh, noon Eastern.
Love it.
Which, by the way, 10 a.m. Mountain Time. 10 a.m. Mountain Time.
Yes.
And I adore those games for a million different reasons. Like, those are my favorite games to do. Because I just talked to 2 Air Force kids today. They're incredible. And then there's 1 flight from Denver to Nashville. I will be on it because I have Chargers Titans for CBS on Sunday. So the rarely before, if ever done, CBS back-to-back doubleheader college NFL weekend for me.
You're closing in on Herb Street. You just got to get like a pregame show in between in some remote location. And then,
a dog.
And a few dogs. Yeah.
Yeah, but 2 things different. Number one, he has a private plane. I do not. And then number two, he has a meeting, but he doesn't have a game on Friday. There's a day in between. I've done the Thursday radio, mm-hmm, Saturday game, or I've done the Sunday, Monday night radio. To do TV back-to-back days, it's more about the meetings. You know, it's more about, like, tomorrow I'll go right from the Air Force head coach to the Chargers coordinators, and it's just kind of keeping it all together, and then the back-to-back nature of it. But I would do it every weekend if they let me. I mean, you guys know the way I am. I'm a sicko. I love this stuff. Right.
Thanks for fitting us in, Ross. Appreciate your time as always. We'll talk next week.
Always. See you guys. Hey, let me know if you need a border attorney.
Likewise.
Noted. All right.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
All right, second hour here on a Thursday. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, and joined in studio by the Hall of Famer Thurman Thomas, making his weekly visit. And he's dried off. He's in.
Thurman Thomas.
And I guess we should begin.
Yes, please.
With
please.
James Cook's there performance at Carolina.
Oh, man.
200.
I was hoping that. It's just like after the game was over, I'm like, this has to start the show Thursday.
Yeah, 216 rushing yards. And I think he averaged like 9.9 a carry.
Yeah.
How stunned were you that Carolina, which came into the game with the eighth-ranked run defense, could not come up with an answer for the toss play for about 3.5 quarters?
That was stunning. But I'm glad the Bills kept doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man,
yeah,
they didn't let up.
I mean, because we were talking about it, how, you know, their run defense is supposed to be pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm. Josh going to get a blister from pitching the ball.
Right. So, it was, man, I absolutely loved it. And I got to a point and I was like, man, I think even before he had 100 yards, I was like, this could be a 200-yard day on, like, 18 or 19 carries, not, like, 30-something carries. And
it was. 19 carries for 216.
216.
And when did you come out of the game on Monday Night Football when you had 214? You came out, like, third quarter.
Third quarter, maybe, yeah, in the right. Third quarter.
Everybody's like, why didn't you stay in it? And we were like, we got to play him again. And
yeah.
Took him off.
Exactly.
So same with this.
That was the Jets. That was a road game against the Jets.
Monday Night game. Yeah, that Marv, was
Marv know. Wasn't really. I don't know. I mean. And no, Eli was like, no, you're not going back in. He's like, no, we got a long way to go. Eli, yeah, no, yeah, you're going back in. Kenny can take this, so.
Give Kenny some run.
Yeah. Much different animal this week, yeah. Thurm. I don't know if you've noticed this, but over the last 3 weeks, the Chiefs' run defense has come to play because they faced the Commanders, as you know, on Monday Night Football. Commanders had the number two rushing offense in football right behind the Bills. Chiefs held them to 60 yards rushing. The week before, they held the Raiders to 25 yards rushing. Raiders aren't a lot to write home about, so nope. Take it with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
And then the week prior, they held the Detroit Lions to 98 yards rushing. Holding that crew under 100 is a pretty good feather in your cap, I think.
That right there is the most impressive one right there. Yeah. I mean, even with the Washington, the Commanders, I mean, they didn't have Jalen Daniels.
Right.
So that kind of – yeah, that number probably would be low. Stack the box and not let – see if Marcus Mariota can beat you, right?
Right. Yep.
But the Detroit one, that was impressive. And it made Detroit actually stop running the football. They were passing the football more than they were running.
Yeah, that was a Sunday night game, if I remember mm-hmm. right.
And so, yeah, that's more impressive, especially, you know, in the last couple of weeks. You've seen what Detroit's running game has been about. So, but, yeah, it seems like the Chiefs are – it seems like everything turned around when they showed that play over and over again of Chris Jones not really hustling to tackle Trevor Lawrence on the goal line.
Yeah, yeah.
Ever since that play, they have turned it up a notch. And well, I'm not talking like defense only. I'm talking like offense too.
And they got Rashee Rice back from suspension the next week. And I was telling Steve that week six game against Detroit was the first time the Chiefs have had Hollywood Brown, Rashee Rice, and Xavier Worthy all on the field at the same time, either healthy or available from suspension. So when they have all of those guys to roll out there with Kelce, it's a problem because most secondaries don't go four deep to cover all the bases there.
Yeah, yeah, and you can see it.
With quality people.
Yeah, with quality, yeah. And you can see it, too. It's actually starting to have a resurgence of Travis Kelce. Having all three guys. And when if you looked at the game last week, which I looked at, I was like, man, like he was blocking and blocking. And as soon as Mahomes started scrambling, I mean, he was at the line of scrimmage, just took off and ran. And there he was, catch the ball at five.
And everybody else
run for everybody's down the field because you have Hollywood, you have Worthy, you have Juju, even Juju downfield, catching balls downfield. So, yeah, it one of those delay routes, you know, something that the Bills have to watch out for, yeah. But it is definitely opened up there. But their running game still has not been there. And I think they are searching for that. And
it doesn't look Pacheco's not going to play this week.
He's got a sprained MCL. But they're still a problem. I mean, they come out and throw it. If they have 60 offensive plays, they could throw it 57 of them still.
Still be in a game.
Yeah. Skills 35 plus, you know. I mean, this offense looks as good for the Chiefs as we've ever seen it look. And that's saying a lot. And
with Tyreek Hill back in the day.
With Tyreek back in the day, when they went out on Monday night way back in 2018 and scored 50 and lost 50-52 against
the Rams.
The year the Rams won it.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And that's what this offense looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Like I said, it's starting to gel at the right time. I mean, they're in a place in this whole entire schedule this year. I mean, they lose this game. They're 4-4. 4-4, and you pretty much you won't even be in the seventh or the eighth spot. You might be in the ninth.
They'll be 5-4. It's the ninth game. They'll be 5-4.
Five and four?
They're 5-3 right now.
They're 5-3 now.
Are they 5-3? Mm-hmm. I must have been looking at something old. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they still can't lose. I mean,
you don't want a fourth loss. They're third place in the division.
Yeah. So
they're barely ahead of the Raiders.
If they want to be the team that we've known over the years, I mean, they have to come in here and really beat us. If you want to take them like serious, maybe climb up the board and maybe end up winning division or whatever, this will be the game to do it. But on the other side, it's vital for us too, and I think it's vital for us mentally.
Mm.
Yeah,
because
it carries a little extra weight.
It does carry a little extra weight because If we always beat them in the regular season, let's always beat them in the regular season then. That's the way we have to play. We just have to conquer that monster when it gets to the playoffs. But we need to come out here. I think we need to come out here and dominate from start to finish. That's I don't want a one-score game.
Well,
I don't want a one-score game.
A lot of them have been
that. You're right. A lot of them have been that over the year. Can we get a blowout like we did last week against Carolina, against a team like the Chiefs? Now, that would be – that would get you like, okay.
You ain't getting that this week.
Oh.
Tell them the stats. We've got this book of stats, right? Me and Steve have to distill this stuff down every week. And in 9 previous regular season meetings between the Bills and the Chiefs.
With Mahomes and Allen.
Yeah.
The cumulative point total for the Chiefs is 243, and for the Bills it's 242.
Yeah.
1 point in 9 combined games.
That's with a 9-point win by the Bills, an 8-point win by the Bills, and then you got the other games by the wins by the Chiefs. I mean, it's crazy.
It's nip and tuck. So your dominant runaway victory, I think, is a pipe dream, Thurm.
Sure?
I hate to tell you. I'd love to see it.
I would love to see it.
I'm breaking out in hives. I'm scratching all over.
Yeah, I think it could happen, man. We need to jump on them fast, though.
Let me ask
we
you
don't
about,
need to have any slow starts.
Yeah, let me ask you about this, because I think we saw a dramatic improvement, and granted, it was against a backup quarterback last week, with Buffalo's pass rush. Michael Hoyt looked like a real force multiplier up there. I thought he gave the defensive front a lot of juice, a lot of production. I was just saying on the air, we had Deion Walker in here yesterday, and he's like, oh, yeah, Mike's a hype man.
Yeah.
Like, he gets everybody juiced. I think this defense needed that.
Yeah.
They needed the hype as much as they needed the results. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you put Hoyt, Rousseau, and Bosa on the field – how you matching up? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think.
And will Kansas City's left tackle be playing Simmons?
Simmons is still away from the team for a personal matter. The guy that they've been starting there, well, it's been a couple of guys, actually. But Jalen Moore has been over there most of the time. Wanye Morris has filled in once in a while. Those are both, like, third and fifth year guys that have been there and done that. And it's been okay for the most part.
Yeah.
Okay. Not great, but okay.
Yeah. If he's bringing the hype like that.
But it's a road atmosphere for them, right, with these tackles. So
yeah,
we've said – I've made this point, too, that when you're playing this offense with this offensive line, it's not so much about holding Mahomes to 105 yards passing or to them to 32 yards rushing. At some point, you got to make a play against them because they're going to be – offense is going to move – you know, they're just too good. To expect them to all of a sudden take a day off, no matter how good your defense is.
Yeah.
But I think the key to beating them is the way the Bills have beaten them in the past. You get Mahomes on the ground in a place where they can't take a sack. Or you get a tipped interception in a place where they need the possession to stay close.
Yeah.
And it gives you a chance to go up by 2 scores. Or you get, you know, or a run by Josh on a 4th and 2 for a 26-yard touchdown, that kind of stuff. You got to make a play against them at a point – in a critical point in the game, which there's always going to be those in a close game. So I think that's the way you kind of have to beat this team. Brownie's up. He says, you know, turnovers are the key.
I think you need 2 takeaways to beat him.
He says you got to get 2 turnovers. And, yeah, okay.
Okay.
But you can't. You got to be plus 2.
Because that's 2 less possessions for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're helping your offense, giving them more chances to go score.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of where you're at with whether their offensive tackles are playing or not. At some point, you got to get a play on them.
Man, and I think, like, we need to make that play early. Like, make it – like, don't maybe wait till the beginning of the fourth quarter.
Don't let them
front. You need to make that play first.
Yeah.
You know, instead of, like –
be a tone setter, yeah.
Yeah, be a tone setter. And
that happened last year. They sacked Mahomes early, and then he threw the interception as well.
Yeah, the wrap.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'm loving his hype stuff. I mean, he said he's getting the guys going. That's what we need.
Yeah.
If we can channel that energy from here on out, it'll be great.
Yeah,
because I think he's a motor guy. And I was,
oh, he's a high motor.
He's a high motor guy. And I was thinking too, like when they the Bills signed him, like I remember like the Rams being like, oh my God, I didn't want to lose that guy.
Yeah.
He was with the Rams, right?
Yep.
Yeah. They didn't want to lose him because he was that hype guy. And I'm glad we got him. I know he had to wait 6 games or whatever, but if he can continue to bring that type of energy, that's when you like, okay, let's turn it up a notch from here on out.
And
from here on out.
You know, Kansas City's offense only has one game of tape on this guy. Like, you know, Bobby Babbage and Sean McDermott can draw up a whole bunch of stuff that they haven't even seen yet right. in terms of pass rush plan with that guy moving all around.
Yeah, he was mostly inside in the Carolina game, right?
Well, he came off the edge, too. Yeah, he was inside and outside.
But he was inside, like, pointing and, like. Yeah.
But you could stand him up off the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, you could stand him up on the edge in a two-point. Like, you put him right next to Russo and just overload one side if you want. So I just think there's a multitude of things you can do with him.
Yeah.
Which is why they wanted to sign him so badly, because they thought he could be a movable chess piece for them.
So yeah, our question today, Thurm, is what's the headline going to be on Monday?
Monday?
You know, it used to be a thing called newspapers, and they'd have a headline.
Yeah, what would be the headline?
Yeah, newspapers. What, what's the headline, you think?
The headline Monday morning is probably going to be
Bill's win means nothing. Here we are. We've seen this before.
No, you know what? I'm thinking, I don't know, man. That's a good question. What, Cook eats again? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Ooh, Cook eats again.
Cook eats again. I last week was, like, impressive because they knew what they were going to do. They were going to run the football, and Carolina could not stop it. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that against the Chiefs, but I tell you what, their blocking is really good up front.
Well, yes, because 141 of Cook's 216 yards came before contact.
Before contact. So
141 to 216, like,
yeah,
it's more than half.
Yeah, I know. Look, I'm excited about the game, but I don't want to get too overly excited about it.
Why? Why?
What time are you getting here Sunday? Like 6 a.m.
Well, I mean, it's Kansas City, man.
Yeah,
it's Kansas City until we like dominate them.
Yeah,
it's always going to be in the back of your mind. Like,
vanquish the demon.
So, exactly. Yes. You have to.
So it's Kansas City. So Jim Nantz, Tony Romo are coming in town to do the game with Tracy Wolfson. And so I know the producer, the executive producer of the NFL on CBS for the number one crew is Jim Rickoff, who I've worked with a ton during my time at CBS. And Ryan Galvin is the producer for our preseason game. They're all coming in. I've already gotten calls from them about because they're coming in town. You know, they got their own favorite, you know, Nance, and they go to their own place for dinner. Yep. They got all this stuff going on. They look forward to these games.
Exactly.
Well, they see them all.
It's become an annual pilgrimage for the network people because they're coming for this game every year.
Yeah. Jim Nantz brought his son to the game last year.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's
a thing.
It is a thing, and considering like this is the last year Kansas City might even be playing in Highmark Stadium, old Highmark Stadium.
Yeah, you know, that's right.
Unless something happens in the playoffs or whatever.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, everything is moving over. So yeah, it's a big game. That's why I said 425.
Oh yeah, there'll be a gazillion people. There are 30 million people watching this game.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. This game might break records.
That is a real number. There'll be 30 million people watching Bills.
Oh, it might be more than that.
Because it's the 425 window, and it's the biggest window of the week.
Yeah, it's going to like 90%
of the country. Bills are playing well. I'm sure. I've been seeing the highlights all week of the matchup. I mean, it's everywhere.
These are the games that the networks protect.
Like, yeah.
This game is not getting flexed anywhere.
Right.
CBS gets a handful of games they can protect every year, and this is at the top of the list. This thing is not moving out of our 4 o'clock window.
Yeah, the history lesson for people who don't understand or don't care about this stuff or don't know, it used to be that one network like CBS would have all the AFC games or the NFC games. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, it was the NFC. CBS was always NFC.
Yeah.
And NBC was always all the AFC games. Yep. And it was never different. If an AFC team went to an NFC city, NBC would have the game.
Yeah.
If the NFC came to an AFC city, the
CBS
would have it. Yeah. So it's been like that it was like that forever.
Ever.
And then streaming, Monday night, Thursday night.
Prime.
Now those networks get games.
Yeah.
And now they fight over them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, we didn't tell you guys about this, but we have Chef Zachary Skinner from Delaware North coming in. And he is here to debut, gentlemen, two menu items at this week's game. that are a tribute to one Steve Tasker and Thurman Thomas.
Oh, nice.
Sitting in front of Steve is the sandwich called The Gunner.
The Gunner.
Hold on. Let me read this.
All right. Go ahead.
Sandwich is built for bold playmakers. Greek marinated chicken breast, diced tomato, onion, banana peppers, and feta cheese come together on a hoagie roll for a flavor combo as dynamic as Tasker's game. Available at the 716 stands near sections 114 and 136 Sunday afternoon. And in front of Mr. Thomas is the Therminator, a double burger worthy of Hall of Fame running back Thurman Thomas. This beast features crispy bacon, barbecue sauce, jalapeno relish, an onion ring stacked on a Martin's potato roll. It's a nod to the 1991 NFL MVP who helped power the Bills to four straight Super Bowl appearances. This one's going to be served at the Lenovo Wings stand, section 104.
Wow.
That is the Therminator, and that is the Gunner.
Very nice. This is awesome.
How about that?
Look at that.
You guys got a sandwich named after you.
Wow. Yeah. It smells awesome. I'm not going to eat it on the air. No, me neither.
Yeah, that's a handful over there for both of you.
That is a handful over there.
That's nice.
Yeah. That's nice. Well, thank you so much.
What a surprise.
Yeah. So the Delaware North taking care of those. Yeah.
Very nice.
Thank you. We have to keep that under wraps.
This dip they've got.
That's feta, yeah.
I know, yeah.
I think it's feta dip.
It's very good. Yeah, it's exactly what it is. Greek. Awesome.
And banana peppers, and who says no to banana peppers?
Yeah.
Jalapeno relish. I mean, come on. We're pulling out all the stops here for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
That's nice.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Alice Jacobs.
If the game gets a little hairy and you need to emotionally eat,
you just go
to the stand and get your sandwich.
This is it right here.
You know it's going to happen, man.
So you're chewing that instead of your fingernails. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Because I think it's going to be nip and tuck. It's going to be.
Man,
Thurm, I'd love to have a relaxing afternoon. I would with them up by 30.
I want to be 30 to nothing us.
Yeah, well,
2 minutes
I think
left.
We all want that, but.
It's
we all live in this world.
It's not
gonna happen. Fantasy land with rainbows and pixie sticks.
That's right. So,
defense going to turn it up. I feel it. Defense going to turn it up. I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. We need a statement game.
Well, and that's the biggest difference from the regular season to the postseason, because in the last four games when the Bills have won the regular season matchup, the defense has only given up an average of about 20 to 21 points per game. In the playoffs – the defense has given up an average of 34 points a game.
Yeah.
An average of
34. It's a two-touchdown difference.
Yeah. It's tough.
And it's too much for the offense to overcome.
You know this, though, except for the 2023, January 23, I think, all those games were in Kansas City. And the regular seasons would have been here for the last couple of
years. Yeah, the one here was 27-24 is how that one finished.
Right. So, but...
Well, that's another reason why this game's important, because... You could be talking.
This is the first time
seeding in the AFC.
This is the first time I'm starting to feel like up to my neck.
Oh, now you're getting a little verklempt.
Yeah,
now you're getting a little verklempt now.
I was doing okay up until.
I'm excited about it. I think the defense is going to
play
well. It's
going to
be a fun game.
Thurman's got some quiet confidence over there. I don't know what to make of it.
I really do. Just from the fact the way that the defense played last week, I'm still excited about those guys. And obviously, I think we can control the football game better than they can control it.
That would be an X factor that's different from previous meetings, Steve. Like a defense that can kind of control the tempo and pace of the game by the Chiefs. Because the Chiefs, when they put the offense on the field, they usually do whatever the hell they want. It'd be nice to see someone stymie that.
And that was kind of like, the first or the second year with Vaughn.
Vaughn's first season in 2023.
In Kansas City, he got that pressure late, and it turned into the interception from Taren.
Taren Johnson, you're right.
And it's amazing how we can all remember these
plays, like nine games.
this matchup, it always feels different, you know, for some reason. And this one is feeling unique for all, you know, its own reasons. You know, where the Bills are, the point in the season, the stumbling start the Chiefs got out to. Last year they'd walk in here 9-0 in week 11.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it was – it felt – I can't remember exactly, but it feels like this one's even more of a challenge than that one was.
Yeah,
because they're coming in here
– desperate.
Desperate. And like last year they weren't playing so good. And people,
this is the worst 9-0 team in the history of the National Football League.
Oh, yeah, really?
It's a short list.
Yeah.
But that it feels, and I guess we're always like that. This one feels worse than any of the others because it's here and now. But
I'll throw another stat at you before we go to break here. So last year, we know that the Chiefs were winning games by the skin of their teeth last year. They were 11-0 in one-score games last year. This year, they are 0-3 in one-score games.
Oh, let's go.
So maybe you don't want to blow out them.
No, they're due.
I want a straight kicking. That's what I want. No. Yeah.
All right, Thurman. Well, thanks for stopping in, as you do good every stuff, Thursday. Thurman. We appreciate it. And like I said, if you need to do some emotional eating, you can go eat the Thurmanator on Sunday afternoon. That's the Hall of Famer Thurman Thomas joining us here on One Bills Live.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.